Well, it's good to see y'all out. So I want to have some sick folk. Loretta's sick. She's not feeling well. Teresa, okay? Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Remember, those are requests for prayer. Congratulations to Lindsay and Zach and Bertha. Harper Quinn. I love that name. What a good name. That's a good, strong name, isn't it? Harper Quinn. Happy birthday to Peggy Hill Kerbo this week on the 17th. Remember those who requested prayer. Seek the Lord's help for them. Let's begin our worship service with hymn number 235. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Scripture reading and prayer, we'll sing hymn number 42. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew, the 8th chapter. Read verses 1 through 4. When he was come down from the mountain, that is the mountain where he gave the Sermon on the Mount, great multitudes followed him, and behold, there came a leper, and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will. Be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said unto him, See thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, We are thankful that we can read such things as this and know that these things, these miracles that our Lord performed, were pictures and types of the experience of salvation had by your children when they hear the gospel and the Holy Spirit causes them to hear the voice of Christ. And they come as ruined sinners, taught of God, without hope and without help, seeking mercy at the seat of mercy, our propitiation, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that we can read such things. We can find ourselves in these pages. We know that in and of ourselves there is no good thing. Left ourselves, we would plunge further and further in a course toward eternal perdition and hell. But we are thankful that by your grace and according to your good pleasure, you stopped us in our course and opened our ears and our eyes and our hearts to receive the gospel. We bless you for that. Pray for those who are sick and going through trials. We're thankful for the healthy birth of Harper Quinn. We pray that you'd be with Lindsay and Zach as they begin their lives as parents. We ask, Lord, you'd watch over them. I'll be with their parents, their grandparents, and their great-grandparents as they love this young'un. And help us, Lord, today to remember each other. Call our names out to the Lord. Help us to worship you now, even as this old leper came and bowed down before our Lord and attributed sovereignty to him, worshiping him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Help us now, we pray in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen. Hymn number 42.
Sacred throne, we at his feet may fall.
I'm going to ask Grandpa to take up the altar this morning. Let us pray. Father, again we approach in the name of Christ, our blessed Savior, the unspeakable gift that you've given to your children. We know with him you've freely given us all things. We have nothing that we have not received. Let us not boast as if we've not received it. Knowing this, that all things belong to you, for you're the creator, sustainer, consummator of all things. All the earth is yours, and all the inhabitants thereof belong to you. Let us return to you what you have given us freely and kindly, and do it with a heart full of joy. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. This is a familiar story. The leper who came to Christ for healing is recorded also in Luke. And Luke says that this leper was full of leprosy. That means he was covered from head to toe. He was white from head to toe. When our Lord performed miracles, healing people, giving them sight, giving them hearing, raising them from the dead, curing their palsy, straightening out the withered man's hand, a withered man with a withered hand, straightening out his hand, those type things. They all represent an aspect of the salvation of God's elect. They're not about what Christ accomplished on Calvary. They're about the experience of salvation. The experience of when a sinner hears the gospel, one whom God has chosen hears the gospel and finds out by the Holy Spirit that he is without hope and without help in this world. That his only hope is that somehow someone greater than he is able to help him and to save him. This is where this leper is at. Leprosy in Scripture pictures sin because it speaks of those who are outcasts and helots and have no hope of joining reasonable society. They are people who are, the world is done with. The world cannot help them. Religion cannot help them. Going to church is forbidden for them. They are without hope and without help in the world. This man came to the Lord Jesus Christ at the end of our Lord's teaching on the Sermon on the Mount. And I often wondered if he was sitting there at the foot of the mountain while everybody was gathered up on the mountain, listening to our Lord Jesus Christ teach the things that Scripture meant. Several times in that passage of the Sermon on the Mount, our Lord said, "You heard the Bible say this, but this is what it means." He said that several times. He also said, "Blessed are you when men shall persecute you and revile you for my name's sake. Great is your reward in heaven. Blessed are the poor. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the peacemakers." All these things, I wondered if this leper was at the bottom of the hill listening to that, knowing that he was persecuted and he was reviled and he was poor and he was helpless and he was meek. He's so meek that he had to tell everybody he was in the area. He had to cast dirt up in the air and call out, "Leper, unclean, unclean, unclean." So people would not come near him, because the leprosy that's spoken of in Scripture, at least at that time, was an incurable disease. And it was not that long ago when that nun, mother, what's her name? I can't think of her name. She worked, sister what?
Teresa.
Yeah. She worked with the lepers, so the people still have leprosy. And you can get leprosy in the United States if you mess with having armadillos, so. Yeah, they have leprosy in them, but it's curable now. But then it wasn't. It represented the absolute most helpless state of a human being. Was this leprosy? And this leper was not allowed to do what he did. That's why the word "behold" is there. Behold, wait a minute, look at this. Here in the midst of this group of people that have sat and listened to Christ for hours, and now they're saying, "Never a man spake like this man." They were astonished at his doctrine and his teaching. They never heard anything like this. And the reason is because his doctrine was from his book, his words that he wrote, that he penned in eternity for us to have. Now this man comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he comes as one who is aware of his condition. That's why I say when the Lord healed these people, they represent the sinner whom the Lord has awakened to find out what he is. A sick person knows that he's sick. A blind person knows that they can't see. A hearing person knows that they do not, or a deaf person knows that he can't hear. You know, the woman with the issue of blood, she had tried everything for 12 years and still had the issue of blood. That meant, according to the law, the Levitical law, she was accursed. Everything she sat on had to be cleansed or burned. She was not welcome into society. And before she could come into society, her blood had to stop. And then she had to have an atonement made for her before she could come back into society. In this 12 years, she's been an outcast. So people who had the Holy Spirit is spoken to through the Word of God, through the preaching of the gospel, understand and know that they are sinners, and not in a general sense like I know I'm a sinner and I'm not as bad as somebody else. No, it means you know you're hopeless and without help in this world. That's what being a sinner is. The old Puritan said the sinner is a sacred thing. The Holy Ghost has made him so. If you really know you're a sinner, you didn't come by that by yourself. Many years ago, a man wrote me a letter, or actually called me on the phone. He was Nigerian, living in England, and he talked about wanting to be saved by God's sovereign grace. And he didn't know whether he was one of the elect. He didn't know whether he could. And I said, "Listen, I said, the first thing, those thoughts that you're having toward God are not natural to humanity. Natural men don't think thoughts like that." And I said, to me, it's obvious that the Holy Spirit is moving you and working on you, dealing with you, because you're having thoughts about things that natural men can't even perceive or understand according to Scripture. They're foolishness to them, but it's not foolishness to you. He's a good friend and a brother in Christ, still living over yonder. I get an email from him every once in a while. But it's those who know that they have a great need and know that they themselves cannot help themselves. This fella, if he could have willed to be better, he would have. But he couldn't. All he knew was that he could not help himself. Now, a leprosy in Scripture is a very important thing, because it teaches us about sin. In fact, Isaiah, when he wrote about our sins being washed away, our sins being cleansed, he said our sins were cleansed. That's what he says. He said, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. That's a direct reference to leprosy. Because leprosy was an interesting disease. When our Lord told this man to go to the priest, it meant he had to go there because in order to be accepted back into society, the priest has to say he's cleansed. If he wants to be, now he could be cleansed, but he would still, to the rest of the people, he was a leper. He had to go to the priest. When a priest looked at a leper, if he had one little blemish on his skin, he was condemned and said, you're unclean. You have leprosy. But if he was covered with leprosy from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, snow white like, the priest would pronounce him cleansed. And that shows you the difference between what people think sin is. People think sin is telling a white lie. That's a little red pimple. They're ruined from top to bottom. But when they realize that they're a sinner from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet, that's a work of the Holy Spirit, and they know. And God says, you're clean. And the reason he says that is because he's made you to come to that place. Now, how do you come to that place? How does a sinner come to the place where he sees himself as such, without hope and without help in the world? Isaiah, look over to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah spoke in the language of leprosy in Isaiah chapter 6 when he saw the Lord. Now, if you read Isaiah 1 through 5, Isaiah was one tough prophet. He didn't let nobody off the hook and pronounced woe after woe upon Israel, just letting them have it. And then in chapter 6, he saw the Lord. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, now he was a kind of the PR man for King Uzziah, I saw also the Lord. The word also means that his eyes were upon Uzziah. And during that time, and when Uzziah died, when did he die? Uzziah died as a leper. He died as a leper. Why? Because he decided that he was going to do the job of the priest. Now, he was a king, and a king was now not allowed to do the job of a priest, but he's going to take a censer, and he's going to the Holy of Holies, and he's going to act like a priest. 80-some men tried to stop him. 80-some priests said, this does not pertain to you. This is not your job. Your job is government. It's to be the king. Our job is to handle the spiritual things in the tabernacle and temple. God has appointed that way, and you're not to be here. He said, get out of my way. I'm the king. And so he went in there. God smote him with leprosy, and he was a leper until the day he died. In the year that King Uzziah was considered a leper and died, he said, I saw the Lord. I saw also the Lord. And when I saw the Lord, I saw him high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Here he's pictured as one with a huge robe trailing behind him. It's so huge, it's voluminous, it just fills the temple. And above him stood seraphims, creatures. Each one of them had six wings. With twain they covered their face. With twain they covered their feet. With twain they did fly. One fellow says, this is a picture of the preacher of the gospel. He covers his face and says, don't look at me. He covers his feet and said, don't look at my work. Don't look at my walk. And with two wings, he flies wherever God sends him. Whom shall I send? Here am I, the Lord. Isaiah said, send me. And one of them cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Holiness is the essential character of God. The essential character of God. It's the only characteristic and attribute of God, save for sovereignty, that you can apply to every aspect of God. Holy love. Holy wrath. holy vengeance. These things, the word holy, the book you're holding in your hand, what does it say? It's a holy Bible. It's a holy Bible. And the posts of the doors moved. The whole house is shaking. And he cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Why? Because man can't look headlong at the Shekinah glory of God. Remember, he's talking about the whole earth being full of his glory. And then I said, woe is you. No, woe is me. I am undone. And that word is unclean or cut off. Who's cut off? Lepers are cut off. For I am a man of unclean lips. This is a attribute of leprosy. They had to put a towel over their mouth because the breath was so horrendous that people couldn't stand to be around them. So they had to put a towel over their mouth. He said, and I dwell, it's not only my problem, it's everybody's problem. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. And here's why he saw himself as a sinner. And here's why every sinner who is indeed a sinner, say, redeemed or revealed to be so by the Holy Ghost, here is why he will see himself. He'll see himself in light of the glory and majesty of the King of Kings. He said, I dwell among a people of unclean lips because mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. You ever see Christ, that's what you're going to see. People talk about Jesus all the time. People see him in water tanks. I saw somebody saw him in a water tower, the face of Jesus. I saw the other day on Facebook, somebody had put something on there that said, see Jesus' face. Down there in Georgia, there's some Commerce, Georgia, I think it is. There's a woman that supposedly speaks for Virgin Mary. Once a year, people come to Commerce, Georgia, and in her screen door, supposedly there's the face of Jesus. The face of Jesus. Nobody knows what Jesus Christ looks like except those who walked with him in those days. And this picture they have of him today is embarrassing. He's a Caucasian. He's a eunuch with a red beard and hair and blue eyes. That's not... Christ was a Jew. He was an Arabian. Born in Arabia. So that means he had dark skin. Probably jet black. Maybe curly hair. And Scripture says he wasn't good looking. There is no comeliness about him that men should desire him. What was it about him that drew men to him? His words. His words and what he did. But he saw himself as a sinner when he saw the King of Glory. And that's pictured by this leper who hears the Lord Jesus Christ in his preaching probably. But he sees himself as a sinner because the Holy Spirit has said something to him about this man that's up there teaching on this mountain. And he says, I'm going to get to him. Sink or swim. I'm going to get to Christ. And I've said this all along. We don't need to invent ways to get people to come down to the front of the church, or as Crow says, the back of the church, because that's really the front of the church where the door is. We don't invent ways to get people to make professions of faith. We don't pressure people. We don't try to gainsay people. Why? Because if a person meets Christ through his word, by his spirit, just get out of his way. He's going to get to Christ. For Scripture says, all that the Father had taught, all of them come to Christ. Everyone that is taught and has learned of the Father, John 6:45, comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. And here this leper comes. This leper comes. A man of unclean lips. Dwelling among a people of unclean lips. And it says, behold, there came a leper in verse 2 and worshipped him. Worshipped him, saying. You'll find these three words together quite a few times with those who come to Christ. They worship him saying something. They have something to say. And what they say means something. He's saying he came to him worshiping. The woman with the sick child, the Syrophoenician woman, came to him worshiping him, saying, Lord, my daughter is sick. Can you help her? Please help me. Lord, help me. And when the Lord told her about election, that didn't stop her. When the Lord said, I only come to feed the household of Israel, that didn't stop her. She worshipped Him, saying, when He said, you're just a dog getting crumbs from the master's table, she said, but I'm your dog. Feed me. I need your help. She worshipped, He worshipped Him, saying, how do we worship God? I don't think there's a better way to worship God than this way. Lord, if Thou wilt, Thou can make me clean. Worshipping is honoring God, first of all, with an attribution to His absolute, unconditional, unqualified sovereignty. Lord, Lord, if Thou wilt. He didn't say, Lord, I invite You into my heart. Lord, I accept You as my Lord and Savior. He didn't say that. He didn't say, Lord, do You have an aisle that I can walk down? He said, Lord, it's up to You. If You will, You can make me whole. He attributed sovereignty to God. And everybody who comes to Christ, that's how they come. This other mess that people talk about, it's another Jesus they're coming to. Because this one is only approached by those who have nowhere else to go. They're at the end of their rope. They're gone, Jesses. Their life is over if He don't do something for them. This is what it is to be a sinner in need. He worships You saying, Lord, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean. And our Lord said to him, but before He said anything to him, our Lord did the unthinkable. This man could not be touched by society. This man had to holler at society and say, stay away from me, don't touch me, you will be infected. And our Lord reached out and touched this man. I wonder what that meant to him. How long he'd have been a leper, I don't know. But I know it had been a long time since any human being had touched him. We're made to be touched, you know that. The largest organ in our body is our skin. And it's made to be touched. That's why we enjoy a good hug. That's why a hug really does something. Not only psychologically, but physically, when you get a hug from somebody that loves you, you know something's going on. We're made that way. Our Lord reached down to this vile pariah, this outcast, this nobody, this one who society wouldn't even talk about, and touched him. He touched him. Wonder what it meant to that boy. He touched him. He said, Lord, if You will. The Lord said, okay, I will. I will. Be Thou clean. Be Thou clean. And immediately. Not after 6 weeks of watch care. Immediately. Right now. At that moment. Our Lord cleansed him of his leprosy. His leprosy was cleansed. Now, he stopped being a leper at that moment. He's no longer a leper. No longer a leper. He was a child of the King. And though you are a sinner, you're a sinner saved by grace, before God, you're not a sinner. He will remember your sins no more. You've been perfected by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you stand before God as a righteous son. You're no longer a servant, you're a son with all the privileges that go with being a son of God. And then our Lord says to him in verse 4, see thou tell no man. Now he doesn't mean don't tell anybody about what's happening. He says, before you tell anybody, you got something else that needs to be done. I have cleansed you. You are clean. But this crowd, to this crowd, you're still a leper. Because that's what you've been designated. You have to go to the priest to get him to tell you that you're clean. And once the priest tells you, then the rest of these people will have to accept you in the society. But that has to happen first. And that's covered in Leviticus chapter 14. Leviticus chapter 14 and several verses there. And the system is what I told you before. The leper comes before the priest. And if he's got just a blemish, he's declared unclean. Because all the sin is, all the diseases on the inside, it just hadn't come out yet. Hadn't presented itself. But once the disease has presented itself in every facet of the body, it's come out clean, and the person is covered from head to toe in kind of a white crust. You think, well, boy, that's like the elephant man. It can't be. Yeah. The priest looks at him and says, you're clean. You're clean. You can go. And it says, Luke said this man was full of leprosy. That means he was covered from head to toe. And when you see that in Scripture, know this, that when a person is covered from head to toe, that's really a special place because he is pronounced clean by the priest. Now, maybe he thought, this leper thought that Christ was a priest. I don't know. Maybe he did. Christ is the high priest, the great high priest who's touched with the feeling of our infirmities, and he was touched with the feeling of this man's infirmities. Maybe he thought he was, but according to the laws of the land, which teaches us something, that though we are children of God, we are subject to the laws of the land. Romans 13. The only thing that the law can't tell us not to do, the law can't make us not preach the gospel. That's where the child of God says, I'm not obeying that law. Every other law that's put in there for our good, is what Scripture says. The police forces are there for our protection or to punish us when we do wrong. The magistrates and such. Read Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 8, and find out what I'm talking about. But the law has to say, you're no longer a leper. The law has to let him go. The Levitical priesthood has to say, you're clean. And that's what happens to you. The law must search you from head to toe. And if there's one fault or one sin there, you must be punished and put in hell. But Paul says we are by the law, free from the law. How are we by the law, free from the law? Christ has fulfilled the law for us, completely and perfectly, dying in our room instead. So much so that the law looks at us from head to toe, deep in our heart and in our soul and our mind, and can find not one thing to hold against us. No grounds upon which it can accuse. You must be cleansed. You must be declared clean by the law. And so this man is sent to the priest, and the priest looks at him. Well, it ain't no red spot. He's covered from head to toe. The priest says, you're clean. You're clean. You're cured. You're no longer a leper. Miriam, remember Miriam? She lied on Moses. She's a child of God. She lied on Moses, tried to worm her way in where she shouldn't, and God smote her with leprosy. But the language about Miriam, she was a leper. As white as snow. What does that mean? She's clean. She's a sinner saved by grace. We sing a song, let not conscience make you linger, nor of fitness fondly dream. All the fitness he requireth that you feel you need of him. This is what I find about every sinner that comes to Christ. God has made him realize he's a sinner. That's why he comes. He's taught of God. But every sinner comes to Christ because he must. That old song, I must have Jesus. He must come. He has nowhere else to go. We can't pressure people into it. If we do, we've probably messed up their life forever. Just leave them be. Preach the gospel. Tell them the truth and back away. And if that blessed Holy Spirit, who is Himself the sovereign God, touches that person's heart through the preaching of the gospel, first thing they're going to realize is this: I have no hope in this world, in myself, in anybody else. I must find the Savior. Father, bless us to our understanding of prayer in Christ's name. Amen.